We are at the Fun Fly Zone, the south end of Air Venture 2026. Actually, it's just, I mean, we're just south of the 195 Cessna Rose here at Air Venture. And you can't miss it, really, because there's a big ultralight wayfinding tower, a blue one, right in front of us. And if you look to the, to the west, you're going to see a big red barn that got
resided this year. Steel siding. This will be here for a long time now.
Yes, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yep, so when we get a storm, this is one of our approved places to get out of the storm now.
Yeah,
it's a good solid structure.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful too. It's red steel siding. And that matches the white steel roof that we got a few years ago.
Very nice. And that keeps it cool.
Keeps it cool.
Yeah.
Very well protected for many years to come.
So, Tim Bogenhagen, you're pretty much the liaison down here.
That's correct, yes.
For the Fun Fly Zone with the EAA. And it's a special year, like we said. It's the 50th anniversary of ultralights at Oshkosh. And in 1976... something special happened here. Why don't we talk about that?
Was that the 200th anniversary of the United States? Is that what you're talking about?
That too, but, okay. And this is 250 of that this year.
And now it's 250.
Yeah. So, here we are. It's funny how math works like that.
Oh, that's math. Huh? Okay. Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, 1976 at the EAA's annual convention. We didn't call it Air Venture back then. There was this young kid from down in the Milwaukee area who flew hang gliders and decided to put an engine on it and thought he'd bring it up and show it off in front of all the other airplane pilots. And that person's name was John Moody. And John Moody is with us today. Welcome, John. Thank you for being here.
Well, it's great to be here. It's the greatest show in the world, and it's always fun to come to Air Adventure. I was here 10 years ago, early when I lived in Wisconsin. I was here every year till I ended up moving to Florida.
Yeah. Well, as a Wisconsin person, Wisconsin, especially around the Milwaukee area, the ground is pretty flat, right?
Yeah.
So we really don't have hills. So hang glider pilots, what did they do to learn to fly hang gliders?
Well, there are a couple places where you can learn them. And a lot of them will go over to the east coast of Lake Michigan in Michigan to the Warren Dunes to fly hang gliders. There is a small place of cliffs south of Milwaukee on the west coast. And I've tried a few cliff launches there. And two of my four cliff launches were successful. But the two that weren't so successful convinced me there's got to be a better way. So, long story short, I put a go-kart engine on the back of my ultralight Icarus and flew.
Now, you put a go-kart engine on the back of your hang glider Icarus.
Yep.
Where did you test fly it? How did you go about that process to test fly for the first time?
Well, the first time I tried it was on a frozen long lake just north of Burlington, Wisconsin, frozen lake with about a couple inches of snow on it. Great for crashing and great for learning. I could be pointed straight into the wind, nice flat, no obstructions. So that's where I did my very first powered flight of literally being off the ground under power March 15th, 1975.
Wow, March 15th, 1975. You mentioned crashing. So was that something you did very often?
Well, not on purpose. that day I had some long runs and finally got airborne. And then I got the thought, well, let me fly back to where I start for taking off. We'd fly a length and pick it up and carry it back. Well, I said, let me just try turning around and taking I never did a U-turn in this airplane ever. And I ended up, I was still low to begin with, but in the process of turning, I dragged my wingtip in the snow and literally spun out like it spun out a car. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, it didn't damage the airplane or me at all. but it was a wake-up.
It was a wake-up, yeah. Your introduction to
now,
crashing.
Now, at the end of the day, we took the airplane clear down to the lake was about a mile long. At the end of the day, we took it down, and I flew at about a 30-foot altitude the entire length of the lake and landed successfully.
So on that first day, the successful flight was the length of the lake, Long Lake, 30 feet above the ground, and you actually landed successfully.
Yep.
What did you feel like after that at home that night?
Tired.
Well, and that's what I was coming. Tim took me over to the tent where your Icarus is on display.
Yes.
And thank you for donating that to the EA, by the way. That's a wonderful,
pleasure.
That's a wonderful gift. Yeah. And so I'm looking at it, and the board says it weighs 90 pounds.
Right.
And I'm looking at it. It's got no wheels on it, no landing gear. So, and it's got these.
Oh, it does. It's got a 33-year-old retractable landing gear. My legs.
Exactly. Well, not only that, but you're picking up 90 pounds with your arms.
Well,
I was telling Tim, there's no way I could fly that thing unless I went to the gym every day and worked out.
It looks hard, but it really isn't. The first couple jogs, yes, are very hard. But once you're going about the third or fourth stride, the airplane flies itself, and all you have to do is just keep up until it's flying fast enough to carry your weight. Then off you go.
And how many feet is that normally?
Well, that was the long runs for then, but in the recent, you know, it's just if I were to foot launch my Easy Riser, which is the successor to the Icarus, it would take me, 50 yards or less.
Okay. That's not very far.
No, that's not too far. That's a foot launch.
So let's think about then, what inspired you? What was your motivation to come to Oshkosh and show people in 1976 about flying this?
You know, I don't, I was encouraged by Jack Cox, who was the editor of the Sport Aviation at the time. He convinced me that certificate in my airplane and my flying wasn't getting checked out, wasn't that big a deal. And the FAA insisted that I was flying a powered airplane, not a powered hang glider, and they had more money to last. I couldn't afford to take them to court. So that's what happened. So it was pretty much Jack Cox's encouragement to bring it to Oshkosh, let the world see it,
yep.
Which is what happened.
Yep.
And it worked out pretty good.
How many times did you fly it in that 1976 convention? Do you remember?
One, two, three, four, about 8 or 10 times.
8 or 10 times. Didn't you show me a picture of your logbook, and do you actually log your flights?
Oh, yeah. I had to then. I was a real airplane.
Yeah.
So I have a logbook of my flights. I think Monday and Tuesday I've had one or two flights, and that was the day I did the tumbles, and then I was grounded for a day or two, and then Friday and Saturday and Sunday I had a couple short flights.
Mm-hmm. So after that convention, apparently people started contacting you and were like, hey, I want to do what you're doing. How do I do it?
Yeah.
What inspired you to then create a business to actually support that?
Well, because I love flying, and I'd like to be in business for myself. I did great. Well, I also had a article in Popular Science in December 1976 that really also got me off the ground, created a lot of interest, and I just started part-time with my business, and it got to the point whether it's do it full-time or otherwise, and I did.
What was the name of your business?
Ultralight Flying Machines of Wisconsin.
Of Wisconsin.
It's named after Ultralight Flying Machines, the company who actually produced the glider. My contribution is being the guy to add power to it and being crazy enough to fly.
So the Icarus was already existing as a glider?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The Icarus was developed, the hang glider was developed by Taras Kosenek, a student college, and the engineered Icarus II kit that I bought and built was produced by Larry Morrow of Ultralight Flying Machines. which was located in California. Oh. And then I bought the kit, built it, and got tired of not flying it in Wisconsin, so I put a motor on it.
There you go. So you learned to fly the Icarus as a regular launched hang glider.
Yeah, regular. Okay. Well, I've had hill launches.
Yeah.
I've had cliff launches, and two of my four cliff launches convinced me they were successful. Two of them, I had to figure out a better way to fly.
Tell the story about why you got into hang gliding in the first place.
Well, I was an engineer working for Harnish Rigger in Milwaukee and delivering pizzas for Ned's Pizza. And I heard about the Kremler competition, which was a sizable financial prize to anybody that could fly a man-powered aircraft around a couple pylons a half a mile apart. And as a result of that, I got interested in making that. And I had some ideas that nobody had tried in order to produce thrust and flying. So the bottom line is that was my motivation for getting the Icarus, trying it. And I had to teach myself how to fly before I could get in my experiment. Came up with the ultralights, came up with the power. Never did get into my experiments.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
Tim, John, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're on the fly down here at the Fun Fly Zone at Air Venture 2026. You're listening to EA Radio.